I'll start off tonight by telling you a story. Now, before I tell the story, let me just say this. We're not going to have the words up here, so we got to do it the old-fashioned way. You have to have a Bible tonight or some kind of a device that you can use to look up scriptures. If you don't have a Bible or a device, you might want to sit next to somebody who does. This is the way it used to be. I used to love to preach and hear all the pages turning, you know. But nowadays, you don't even get the pages to turn. You just get people moving their fingers. And I can't tell if they're on Facebook or listening to me. So just be prepared to look up scriptures this evening. Let me start with a story. I heard about a middle-aged woman who had a heart attack, and she was taken to the hospital. And while she was on the operating table and they were working on her, she had a near-death experience, and she saw God. And she asked God, is my time up? And God said, no. He said, you have another 43 years, 2 months, and 8 days to live. And so the woman said, oh, thank you. So when she recovered from the heart attack, she decided she was going to stay at the hospital. And she had a facelift. She had liposuction. She had a tummy tuck. I mean, she decided, well, I got all this time to live. I might as well look my best while I'm alive. And so she had all that work done to her. And after all that was over, she was healed from all of that. She was leaving the hospital, and when she stepped outside the hospital doors, an ambulance came screeching down the street and, boom, ran over and killed her. And she got to heaven, and she said, God, you told me I had another 40 years to live. And God said, oh, I didn't recognize you. Well, sometimes we have the thought that God doesn't recognize us, that God doesn't know who we are. I mean, we've been talking about the blessing of the Lord over the past few weeks, and sometimes it's like we can see everybody else is getting blessed, and we wonder, why am I not getting blessed? Why is the blessing not coming to me? You mean you hear of this person over here, and they gave $5, and they got $100. You hear of some guy praying and finds money in his pockets, and you're giving your tithes, you're giving your offerings, and it's like, wow, how come I'm not getting all these big miracles? You hear of this person over here getting healed, and you wonder where your healing is, or somebody, you know, is getting this miracle, and you don't seem to be getting your miracle. And sometimes we think, well, what's wrong with me? I mean, why am I not getting what I think I'm supposed to have? After all, we started off the year by saying there's the sound of the abundance of rain. And it looks like even when you look sometimes at the church, it's like, well, where is the revival? And where is all this that we're supposed to have the abundance of everything? I mean, we're supposed to be hearing the abundance of rain, and I don't hear anything at all. I mean, I'm just not seeing what I think I'm supposed to be seeing. And even though I'm a covenant partner, I'm supposed to be having all these blessings. Well, the thing we know is that God does know who you are and where you are. I mean, He's aware exactly of all of those things. But we have to understand something about God. God is not moved by our need. We're pretty moved by need, but God is never moved by need. I mean, if He was moved by need, He'd be following the devil around, wouldn't He? But He's not following the devil around. He's not moved by need. We've got to keep in mind God is moved by two things. He's moved by His Word and our faith. That's what will move the hand of God. His Word, our faith. It's not our need, it's His Word and our faith. God loves you. There's no question about that. He wants to meet your need, every single one of them. But He's limited to operating according to His Word. He will only do things the way He said He would do them in His Word. So we recognize that God is limited by His Word and our faith. The Word works in our lives when we believe it. 1 John 5, verse 4, you don't have to look this one up, you know it probably. It says, this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Faith is the victory that overcomes the world. Not faith in all these things, but faith in God and faith in God's Word. Faith, here's the thing about faith. Faith can only be placed in the Word of God. It's not enough for me to see somebody else get a miracle and get faith because they got a miracle, even though that can help my faith. But faith can only come from the Word. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And we've got to learn to be hearers and hearers and hearers of the Word of God. We need to learn how to immerse ourselves in the Word, especially when we're going through a season of lack or sickness or whatever may be facing us. That's when we need to get away from the world and get with God. Get with God. I heard a preacher today talking about that when Abram was what he was called then, when he separated himself from Lot, the next thing that happened was he got a word from God. We've got to get away sometimes. Get away from the news media. Get away from even our negative friends and family. Doesn't mean we can divorce our spouse if they're negative, but it means we've got to get away sometimes so we can hear the Word, so we can hear God, so we can be in faith, because faith can only come from the Word. Faith has to be in the Word, not an experience. As I said, we began this year, and we looked at 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 41. If you want to put your eyes on it, you can. 1 Kings 18, 41, toward the end of that chapter, the Bible says this, "And Elijah said unto Ahab, get thee up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of abundance of rain." We heard the Lord in the beginning of the year say, there is a sound of the abundance of rain. God was speaking to us about a year in which we should experience the sound of the abundance of rain. We're going to talk a little bit about this abundance tonight. God spoke to us. It was a prophetic word. There is the sound of the abundance of rain. We need to take time to listen in the Spirit so we can hear for the sound of the abundance of rain. We're responsible before God for the word that He gives us. Now, He has to put it, He has to make it come to pass. Our job is to believe Him. We believe what He says, and I believe this is the year. And the Lord told me the 2 years were connected, 2013 and 2014. But it begins this year. There is the sound of the abundance of rain. What happens in this year is connected to next year very, very closely, but there is a sound of abundance that should come in this time period. We need to be people who are listening and hearing. If we're not hearing the sound of abundance, we need to clear, as I said, everything else so we can get hold of God and hear the sound of abundance. Now I'm going to turn to a text in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 12. The Gospel of Matthew, we're going to look in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 12, down in verse 33. These are may or may not be very familiar verses of Scripture to you, but these are among my favorite verses in the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew 12, 33. Look what, now this is in red, and so I'm reading from the King James, and Jesus is speaking, and He says this. He says, Matthew 12, 33, "Either make the tree good and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt, for the tree is known by his fruit." Now, what is the understood subject of that verse? Who's supposed to make the tree good? You. Jesus is saying, you either make the tree good and his fruit good, or else you make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt, for the tree is known by his fruit. Now He tells us how to make that happen. He says in verse 34, "O generation of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaks." He could have said it the opposite way, except He was talking to vipers. He could have said, "How can you, being good, speak evil things?" What's inside of us, if we're good, good things ought to be coming out of us. He said, "Out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaks. A good man, out of the good treasure of the heart, brings forth good things." We've already got the connection. It's out of the heart the mouth speaks. So a good man brings forth good treasure out of his heart through the words that he says, is what Jesus is talking about. "For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaks." He says that that an evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things? He said, but I say to you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Now Jesus is talking about making the tree good or making it rotten. Good or rotten. And he tells us how that happens. Whatever our heart is full of, that comes out of our mouth, and that is produced either an evil treasure or a good treasure based on the words we say. I really like the way he said it. He says that every idle word that men shall speak, they'll give account thereof in the day of judgment. Let's be clear what he's talking about here. When he's talking about idle word, he's talking about words that do not produce. He's not talking about words that are meaningless. He's talking about words that will not produce. In reality, all words produce, but he's talking about the productive kingdom words. He says, you will be held accountable for words that are worthless in the day of judgment. That day of judgment may be it may be sometime in the future, you know, when we see Jesus, except I can't really find that to be so in Scripture. What he's talking about, the day of judgment is the day when you speak the word and you reap what you just said. That's the day of judgment on those words. The day you reap what you just spoke. And then he said, your words are either going to set you free or hold you in bondage. Now he's talking about making the tree good. We know from Scripture that making the tree good is talking about the life. Tree is a picture of life. Verse 33 says, either make the tree good, either you make it good, and his fruit good, or you make it corrupt, and his fruit corrupt, for a tree is known by its fruit. You and I are known by what we produce that comes from the words that we say. That's what we're producing. If our words are, I can't, I won't, I don't know, we saw somebody on TV today, they said they were dying to get their hands on something. This lady said, I'm dying to get in that kitchen. I thought, why would you be dying to get in the kitchen? You know, because if you're dead, you're not going to do any good in the kitchen. But our words are going to produce things. The Scripture shows us that trees are types of life. You have the option to make your life good or to make it corrupt. The word corrupt simply means rotten. You choose how you want your life to be. Yeah, but I can't choose if they're mean to me. You can choose if your life is good or rotten, though. How you respond to those things with the words you say determine a whole lot about what your life becomes, because Jesus said you're either going to create something good or something rotten. Corrupt is rotten. If your life is rotten, I hate to say it, if your life is rotten, you made it that way. And only you can change it, because the circumstances don't do it. We basically are the prophets of our own life. We can make the tree good or we can make it rotten. Rotten things stink. Rotten things repel good things. Rotten things attract bad things. So if it's rotten, it's by the words we say. The things that come out of our mouth proceed from our heart, and they make our lives either good or rotten. So whatever your heart is abounding with will come out of your mouth. There's no way around it. You might can hold it in for an hour or so when we all come together, you know, because we come together, it's like, oh, praise the Lord, glory to God. And when you talk to the preacher, it amazes me how people talk to the preacher. It's always one thing, but then they say different things to each other. One time I went to the nursing home, and it wasn't at the time, we used to go every week, but I went one time, and it wasn't at the time I was preaching. And I walked in, and the ladies there that were my prayer partners at the nursing home, that knew all the hymns, they could finish all the verses of Scripture for me, that, I mean, they talked very, very piously to me, as long as they identified me as the preacher. But I came in one night, and it just was at a time I wasn't supposed to be there, but someone was sick, they asked me to come by and pray, and I'd finished praying for them, and I saw two of the ladies that were in our normal church service that we did at the nursing home. And one of those ladies looks at the other one and she says, you better get your blankety blank blank off my blankety blank blank, or I'm going to kick your blankety blank blank. And I said, whoa. And she said, who the blankety blank blank are you? Well, see, it's easy when you know I'm the preacher. But when you don't know I'm the preacher, there's no telling what would come out of your mouth. Tammy and I, we pretty much, when we go on vacation and things, we don't normally tell people we're a preacher till way later into the conversation. That way they don't have to change the way they are because they know that we're preachers. But we need to be so impressed by God that we change what we say based on what He said, not based on what the preacher would say. These things that Jesus is talking about is what we say all the time. What do we say all the time? What are we speaking? Because He said, that is what you're going to create. What I say about others determines not how they become, but how I become. The Scripture says, he who loves cursing, they shall come upon him. If we love to curse people and we love to talk bad about people, I'm telling you, we're going to reap exactly what we've been sowing into our heart. What you say about yourself, you need to be aware of the things you say about yourself. Don't call yourself stupid. Don't call yourself ugly. Don't call yourself what you don't want to be. Call for what? Now, I'm not talking about becoming narcissistic and saying, oh, I am so beautiful all the time. Oh, look at me. No, I'm talking about speaking what the Word says about you. You're not stupid. You have the mind of Christ. You're not losing your mind. We truly have this mind of Christ. You're not driving me crazy because I have sanity. The Bible says I've been given a spirit of a sound mind. And so I'm not going to say of myself those things that the Bible doesn't say. All right? Here's a fact. You already have an abundant heart. There's already something in your heart in abundance tonight. It's either the Word of God, it could be the day that you just spent, it could be any number of things, but your heart is full of something. If you don't like the fruit that's coming from your life, the only way to change the fruit is to change what's in your heart in abundance. The only way to do that is truly on purpose. You can stay the way you are and not even try. But anyone who stays the way they are making a huge mistake. The Bible tells us that when we got born again, we changed, right? We changed from death to life. We changed from darkness to light. When Jesus comes back, the Bible says we will be changed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. But in the meantime, the Bible says that we are to have our mind renewed or changed. We're to have renewed minds, be changing. Each one of us ought to be changing for the better all the time. Amen. Again, when I used to go to that nursing home, some of those elderly people were the sweetest people because they got sweeter as the days went by. But some of them were crotchety people because they got worse as it went. We don't have to lose our minds. We can change the way we think by the renewing of our mind, not conformed to the world, but renewed to the kingdom. But we must choose to think differently and choose to be changed. The only way change can come is to change what we put into our heart. Now, how can we do that? Look in Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20. You've heard these verses, I'm sure, before. Proverbs 4, verse 20. Here's what Solomon said in Proverbs 4, 20. He said, my son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life to those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. Now, this is one of the most powerful passages of Scripture in all of Proverbs. He says, here's the secret. Attend to the Word. Attend. Pay attention to the Word. Incline your ear to the Word. Listen to it. Put it in front of you. Listen to the Word. He's talking about what you put in your heart here. He's saying, don't let them out of your eyes. Keep them in the middle of your heart, the words. Keep the Word of God in your heart. Keep it in front of your eyes. There ought not be a day that goes by that the Word of God is not in your eyesight. There ought not be a day that goes by that you don't hear the Word, at least from you saying it with your mouth. You ought to be speaking what it says. You ought to put it in front of you. It ought to be there all the time, because the word that gets in our heart is life when we find it, and health to our flesh. We can live long and strong by taking the word and putting it there day after day after day. He said, keep your heart with all diligence, for just like Jesus said, out of it are the issues of life, or the forces of life come out of your heart through your mouth. When we're talking about abundance, and we're talking about hearing the sound of the abundance of rain, if we're saying, I don't hear it, I never hear it, why can't I hear it, I just don't think that stuff can be true, then what we're doing is we are allowing that in our heart to come out of our mouth, and we're producing deafness. Here's the reality. Jesus said, my sheep know my voice, and the voice of a stranger they will not follow. The Bible clearly says that the Holy Spirit speaks of things. And if He speaks, I have spiritual ears and I can hear them. Jesus said, he who has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying. I have ears to hear. I can hear what the Spirit is saying. Yeah, but what if I can't yet? Well, keep saying it. Because you don't want to call for what you don't have, what you don't want. You want to call for what you do want. Amen. You don't stand on the front porch and just stand there silently when you want the dog to come. No, you say, here, dog, you're calling for what you want. You're asking him to come. We need to call for what we have. It says, keep your heart. I like this next verse. 24 says, put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. You know what that says? Quit talking bad and quit listening to people who talk bad. Don't you be confessing what the Bible doesn't say, and if you're around a lot of people who are always talking what the Bible doesn't say, don't listen to them anymore. Well, should I just be rude to them? No, don't be rude to them, but just don't listen to them anymore. Excuse me, I got to go. And just go do something else. Or if they say it and it's your boss and you got to listen to it, as soon as they're through, say, I got to go to the bathroom. And go in the bathroom, look in the mirror, and quote the word. Take the time to cancel all that stuff with the Word of God, because that will affect what's in your heart. We change our heart. We listen to the Word. We lean in the direction of the Word. We focus on the Word. We meditate on the Word. When that happens, rottenness is replaced with health and life. Rottenness is destroyed. Life comes. Your words will change, and you won't listen to those words that disagree with the Word of God. We need to be people who think in terms of abundance, because Jesus said, out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth will speak, and we can create a tree that has abundant good fruit on it. But that's our choice. We need to be people who think in terms of abundance, see in terms of abundance, see in terms of the abundance of rain. Let me read you this verse. This is Proverbs 22, verse 9. It says, he that hath a bountiful eye shall be blessed, for he giveth of his bread to the poor. That's the person I want to be like. I want to have a bountiful eye. I want to see abundance wherever I look. I want to always be seeing abundance, always be seeing more than enough, always be looking at abundance. And when all you can see is abundance, you can't even help yourself but to give to the poor, because lack is just not in your eyesight. All you can see is God's provision, God's abundant supply. And it's not hard. Man, if you got 20 of something, it's not hard to give a guy 5 or 6 of them. That's how we need to see ourselves as abundant people. We need to see ourselves as people who know there is no shortage with God. There is supernatural abundant supply. Because God wants us to have abundance in our lives. So the question then, why ain't it working? Why doesn't it seem to be working? Two things would stop it from working in your life. Number one, traditional thinking. The church has taught people it's holy to be poor. The church has taught people that God is mad at them and that God will withhold things to teach you a lesson. The church, traditional thinking. Jesus said that the traditions make the word of God of none effect. We need to make sure that when we think about things, that we identify what does the Bible really say about that item, about that matter. Does the Bible say that it's holy to be poor? Does it ever say that it's holy to be poor? If you look at it, you're going to find it doesn't ever say that. But traditional thinking says that. Or here, traditional thinking says, oh, you're always just going to be a dirty, filthy, rotten, no good sinner. Does the Bible teach that? We need to step back and say, where does the Bible say that? Well, the Bible actually says just the opposite of that. The Bible says you are right now a saint, and the Bible says right now sin will not have dominion over you. See, that's what the Scripture says. We need to identify with what He said. Get away from the traditional thinking. Get away from all that makes the Word have no effect. We've been taught that it's holy to be in lack. Also, another thing that'll stop it is unscriptural experience. Because we've had an experience in the past and it didn't seem like it worked, sometimes we decide, well, it didn't work then, so it can't work now. I couldn't get enough faith then, so I can't get enough faith now. We need to get that out of our mind and begin to look at what the Word says and expect what God has said. You see, when we have those things going on, it makes the heart have an abundance of doubt instead of an abundance of faith. If I begin to look at my past failures and I begin to look at not being able to do it instead of, all right, now, Lord, the last time this thing happened or that thing happened, wow, this thing happened or that thing happened, but, Lord, what is it that's the bottleneck here? Because I'll obey you and I'll do whatever you say to do. And let God give you the right answer. You see, we've got to get our mind renewed. Change the way we think, and we'll change our experience. Okay, so what we want to begin to do is think in terms of abundance. Think about abundance. We want to let the process of abundance grow in us. I believe the Lord was true to His word when He said that we're to hear the sound of the abundance of rain. Do you? I believe that. So let's just think about it for a moment. In Psalm 23, don't turn there, but you know what it says. It says, my cup is full to the top. Is that what it says? My cup runs over. My cup overflows is what that's saying. It says, the Lord is my shepherd. I do not lack. It lists all these other things. And then it says, my cup runs over. My cup overflows. Now, we're getting ready to find out how God thinks and how God does things. My cup overflows. Doesn't God know when the cup is full? Yeah, He knows if it's full or not. Then why does He want it to run over? Why does God make it run over? You see, God, when I look at the Bible, just getting full doesn't seem to be His objective. His objective is overfilling. God wants abundant supply in our lives, abundant revelation, abundant spirit-filled walk with Him that overflows. God doesn't want to just give you just enough. He wants your life to overflow. In Genesis chapter 1, God made this garden, and we've been talking about that as we've been talking about the blessing of the Lord. The garden was filled with abundant supply. There was more food than Adam and Eve could ever eat. It was full, all the trees producing. Their job was just to tend to them. But God made enough in that garden that they would never get to eat it all. And He put them in the middle of that garden and wanted them to enjoy paradise, because that's the way God thinks. He doesn't think in terms of giving you just enough to barely meet your need. He thinks in terms of abundant supply. The Bible says that our God will supply all of our need according to our need. No. According to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. He says his method of operation is not just to meet my need, but to overfill me regarding my need. That's the way God thinks. That's what He wants to do. I mean, God wants us to have that. He gave man abundance, and then He put man in the garden and gave him authority over the abundance and said, I want you to create the same thing I did. I want you to have abundance everywhere. So I want us to think about the way God has done it. Through the years, how has God done it? Have you ever read the story of Abraham and Lot? Lot wasn't even supposed to be there. God told Abraham to leave Lot, to leave all of his family, and He'd take him to a land. Abraham left. He took Lot with him. But Lot and Abraham, they were living in this land, and the Bible tells how they got to this place where they had more cows and more sheep and more stuff than the two of them could hold in that one piece of land. They had more abundant supply than they could ever hope to have in one spot, so they had to divide out. So God, because of the blessing that was on Abraham, God gave them too many cows. Doesn't God know when there's enough cows? Yeah, but his goal isn't to give you just enough cows. His goal is to give you enough cows to overflow your pasture and so you can be a blessing to other people. Think about this. Isaac, in Genesis chapter 26, the Bible says that Isaac got so rich that the richest people in the world called him rich. I mean, that's pretty rich when the rich call you rich. He had more than enough. God didn't give him just enough for him. God overflowed him with wealth, overflowed him with abundance. God wasn't trying to hold it back from him. God, he wants you to have more than enough. Think about this. Jacob and Esau, they got him too many cows. I mean, Jacob comes back to Esau and he's got all these cows. He's going to give them to his brother Esau to appease him. And Esau says, I got more cows than I need. I don't need your cows. God supernaturally, abundantly supplied for them. I like this verse in Exodus chapter 34, verse 6. If you can get there quickly, just you can turn there right quick. Exodus 34, verse 6. Moses said, hey, show me your glory. And God said, okay. He puts him up in this mountain. He hides his face from his front side. And it says in Exodus 34, 6, and the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering. Look at this. And abundant in goodness and truth. Here's the way God works. Too many cows. Too much money. His very nature gave to this man of God too much goodness, too much truth, more than he could even handle. The goodness of God went by him. It was an abundance of goodness, an abundance of truth when God passed by him. That's how God does it. John 10:10, we know the verse. In the Amplified, Jesus said, the thief comes only in order to steal, kill, and destroy. He said, I've come that they might have and enjoy life and have it in abundance to the full till it overflows. God's method, God's thinking process is not to give you just enough salvation to get you to heaven. God wants to give you enough life to overflow you. He wants there to be an abundance of life, more life than you could ever live, more than you could ever spend. God wants you to have abundance of life. That's what we can see in the Scripture. When it says He wants to give you life abundantly, it means to be in excess. God wants you to have more than enough. Listen to these verses. Psalm 36, verses 7 and 8. The Bible says, how excellent is thy loving kindness, O God. Therefore the children of men put their trust under the shadow of thy wings. They will be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of thy house, and thou shalt make them drink of the river of thy pleasures. Too much satisfaction. I mean, so satisfied that it's just satisfaction is just running over, running out of them. Psalm 72, verse 7 says, in his days shall the righteous flourish and the abundance of peace so long as the moon endureth. The Bible says, as long as the moon is out there, then we're going to have too much peace. Too much peace. You see, when we're going through these times and we seem to be losing our peace, the Bible says God has made too much peace available to you. That means you're not going to the right place to find the right thing because there's too much peace. The Bible says in Proverbs 28:20, a faithful man shall abound with blessings. That means too many blessings. The word abound there means to multiply in myriad. It means to multiply in a vast number. And God wants to bring you more than you could ever, ever hope to handle. It's God's will for every person alive to have all that we can possibly handle and keep Him the Lord. Keep Him number one in our lives. God wants you to have everything. He wants it to be multiplied. Malachi 3 verse 10, you know this one. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, and there won't be room enough to receive it. Man, all it is, we give a little tithe, and God then He opens heaven. He pours out an abundant blessing on our lives. He chooses to do that. I mean, it's too much blessing to contain in one little place. Jesus said in Luke 6:38, give, and it shall be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give to your bosom. He said, man, if you'll give, people will give to you just enough to meet your need. No, He said, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. In other words, when we respond to God, His method is He gives us more than we could ever contain. That's just the way God operates. More than we can know. It's given back to us in such a measure that we're running over with financial blessing. Romans 5:17. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive the abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. We've been given an abundance of grace. We've been given grace in excess. God, all we have to do is, if we know Him and we've received that righteousness, we have grace in excess. Man, I like these verses I'm reading to you. 2 Corinthians 8:9, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor, that ye through His poverty might be rich. Jesus became poor in order that you might be rich. You might be rich. He became poor. We can have an abundance of riches, according to the Scripture. 2 Corinthians 9:8 from the Amplified says, and God is able to make all grace, every favor, and earthly blessing come to you in abundance, so that you may always and under all circumstances and whatever the need be, self-sufficient, possessing enough to require no aid or support, and furnished in abundance for every good work and charitable donation. God's grace abounds so that we have too much and we can give it to others so they can have too much. Woo-hoo, man, that is good stuff. Has anybody ever given you a bunch of stuff and you say, oh, no, that's too much? And they go, no, I want you to have it. That's the way God does it all the time. It's too much. He just pours it out upon us. He wants us to hear the sound of the abundance of rain. He wants us to hear it come. You see, God's way is abundance. That's good news. I like that. His way is abundance. If it's not in abundance, God hasn't done all that He wants to do. We have a tendency to turn it off when we get enough. But God wants to do it in abundance. Bigger than we think, bigger than we dream. Abundance always attracts more abundance. Matthew chapter 13, verse 12, Jesus said, For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that which he hath. When we begin to receive the abundance of God, it just attracts more abundance. Lack attracts lack. Abundance attracts abundance. We must begin to think abundantly. We must begin to be people who have hearts and minds of abundance. Remember the Queen of Sheba, when she saw the abundance of Solomon, she didn't go, well, he's got enough. No, she gave him even more. She gave him more, and there was an excessive amount of abundance that she gave to him, because that's just what abundance will do. So let's talk about it for a minute. How then can we create this abundance? What do we do? You see, we need to get in the middle of the will of God, which is abundance. God creates abundance. We found over the past few weeks that when God put man in the garden, He intended for man to be a creator just like God. He intended for us to be partners in His creation. We need to tap into the creative power of God. So let's look back in Genesis chapter 1. And let's just we've already looked at this, I think, some. But let's just make sure we understand what this says. Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. We've talked at length about these over the past few weeks. But the Bible says, "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light." Here we see from those verses that the earth exists. It's a mess. I mean, things aren't going good. In fact, we see the Holy Spirit is already there. He's hovering, the Bible says, over the face of the deep. He moved upon the face of the waters. I mean, it's there. There was lack. There was poverty because of what Satan had done. And maybe that's the way we are. I mean, we want God to move. We know the Holy Spirit is present, and it doesn't seem like it's happening. But verse 3, I mean, it's the secret to all of it. It says, "And God said, light in me be, and it became." Once the Word of God was released in faith, light became. Not the sun, the moon, the stars. That was the fourth day. This is the first day. Light became the moment the Word was released in faith. We understand abundance came on the planet when God said, when God believed, and God said it, and God saw it because God believed it. We create abundance the very same way. We speak the Word in faith. Let's look at this verse of Scripture, Ephesians 3:20. This is how it needs to be. The Bible says, "Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us." Let me read you that from the Amplified Bible, because it's really good in the Amplified also. Ephesians 3, verse 20. The Bible says this in the Amplified. "Now unto him," that's King James, says, "Now to him who by in consequence of the action of his power that is at work within us is able to carry out his purpose and do super abundantly far over and above all that we dare ask or think, infinitely beyond our highest prayers, desires, thoughts, hopes, or dreams." The Bible says that God is able to do that. God is able to do that. Notice he's able. We know that he's able, but how do we get that? How is that accomplished? Notice it says he is able to do it according to what? The power that works in us. There is this abundant supply, and it's a it comes to us from a power that works in us. If it's not exceeding abundantly above, then it's not all that God wants to do. He wants to do bigger than we dream. All right? What is the power? What is the power he's talking about? Well, it's the power of the Holy Ghost. Yes, it is, but how does that happen? Well, look back in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 19. The Bible says, "And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe? According to the working of his mighty power." And what it's what we're supposed to, he said, I want you to know something. What is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe? According to the working of his mighty power. The power is to usward who believe. Believing releases the power of the Holy Spirit. Believing releases the power of abundance. Believing what? Believing God. Believing the Word of God. That releases the power of abundance. The power is released to those who believe. Believe the Word. Believe that the Holy Spirit will move when we believe the Word. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 13, "The Word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe." The Word works when we believe the Word. The Word does it. I've shared this many times. The Bible says three times, the Word is able. The Word contains the supernatural power of God. We must believe it. The way, the exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think is released, it's the same way that abundance was created on the first day of creation. God said, the Word spoken in faith, and when you and I will speak the Word believing it, abundance can come. It's up to me to make the confession of faith. It's up to me to believe what God has said and fill my mind with the sound of abundance. That's up to me. That's up to me. The Word has superhuman power. The 1 Thessalonians 2 verse 13 says in the Amplified, the Word of God, which effectually is at work in you also who believe, exercising its superhuman power in those who adhere to and trust in and rely on it. The Word has it. Faith in what God has said allows the Holy Spirit to create the Word spoken in abundance. In abundance. Let's look at one more passage of Scripture here. Look in Luke chapter 5, verse 1. Luke chapter 5. I just want to point out one thing to you. Luke chapter 5, beginning in verse 1. It says, and it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret, talking about Jesus. And he saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. Now notice it's plural, nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's. And he prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. And when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. Now in the Textus Receptus, it says the word nets, plural here. And Simon answering said, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. The most reliable Greek copy that we know of is the Textus Receptus, and it says the word net, singular there. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned to their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both ships, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of fishes which they had taken. And so was James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to the land, they forsook all and followed him. Now I want you to see something here. Jesus tells Peter, he said, here's what I need you to do. I want you to launch out into the deep and I want you to throw out your nets. Well, we just saw that they were cleaning their nets. And so Jesus says, throw out your nets. And Peter says this. He says, you know what? We'll do it because we're going to just kind of honor you, the preacher, because you don't know anything about fishing. We do. We fish at night here. This is the daytime. We're going to do it. He said, so I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll throw out the net. What does Jesus want to bring to him? Abundance. Jesus wants to bring to him the biggest catch of fish he's ever seen in his life. He wants to do it. Peter has toiled all night. The fish have been repelled by his effort in the flesh. Jesus is anointed, and the fish are drawn to the anointing. And so Peter says, we'll let out the net. Now, it must have been an old crummy net, is all I can figure, because in John chapter 21, they threw out a net, and it filled up with fish, and it didn't break. So I'm thinking, they're cleaning the nets. And Jesus says, let's go out, and we'll catch some fish. And they're going, well, the preacher wants to go fishing, so we'll take him out there. So they took him out there and he said, we'll throw out the net, because they weren't planning to catch anything. So they got the old crummy net and they threw it out there. Well, you heard what we read. There were so many fish they couldn't. I mean, they were trying to get them in the boats. The net broke. It wasn't doing very good. They got the other boat to come out. And I love the story because it says that Peter fell at Jesus' knees, not at his feet, because the boat was full of fish. He couldn't get to Jesus' feet. So he fell at his knees and he worshiped him. Jesus wanted to bring a blessing. He wanted to bring abundance like Peter had never seen before. But he only threw out a little bit. You see, there needs to come a place in our lives where we determine whatever you say is what I will do. Because, folks, that's where the abundance of rain is going to be. When we're not tentative, when we are willing to do whatever it takes to see the kingdom of God, when we're willing to do anything necessary because we want to see the abundance of what God has for us as we obey Him, as we walk with Him, as we believe that is what He wants to do. God wants there to be abundance in our lives, in every part of our lives. God wants to bless us more than we've ever seen before. He wants to bring the sound of abundance, not just for me to have my stuff, but that I can be the blessing I'm supposed to be. I've got to renew my mind. I've got to make sure that I settle for nothing less than the abundance He's promised and speak what God has called me to speak. I heard the story of this guy one time. This was in the 1700s or 1800s, late 1700s, early 1800s. And this guy was traveling across our country, and he was on an important mission. And it was in the wintertime, but he came to the Mississippi River. But he had to get across. There was no bridge anywhere close. It would take days to get to the nearest bridge, and he thought, I've got to get across. And he looked down on the river, and he noticed it was ice on the top. He thought, man, I wonder if I can walk across this. So he kind of puts his foot out there, and it didn't break. And he thought, okay. He thought, well, maybe if I get down on all fours, I can kind of distribute my weight here a little bit, and if it breaks, it'll be easier for the ice to hold me. So he's crawling across the river. It's like a mile across the Mississippi. So he's crawling across it. It's cold. It's icy. He's crawling ever so carefully and slowly. All of a sudden, he hears behind him this singing and this shouting. And there's a man on a wagon with a team of horses, and he's hauling a load of coal. He's just singing and shouting, and he comes riding, and he gets down to the river and just gets on the ice and just sails across it and rides on his wagon all the way across the river to the other side. It's kind of the way some of us are Christians. We're kind of out here hoping maybe God's word will hold us up. Hoping maybe if I take it slow and easy, maybe it'll come to pass. We need to be so sure of the word of God that we're like the guy with the wagon and the coal, that it doesn't matter, we're going for it. Even if we get out there and the ice breaks, we know that God called us out there and He'll get us across the water if we have to walk across it. But having the courage to believe God for abundance. God's word to us has been, I hear the sound of the abundance of rain. God wants abundance to rain down in this church. Abundance of souls. Abundance of blessing. Abundance of good news. Abundance of knowledge in the Word that brings abundance of faith, that brings an abundant satisfaction in our lives. God wants us to live in the sound of abundance. Let's pray. Father, tonight we thank You for Your Word. We thank You that it is Your purpose in our lives for us to have abundance. We know this, that You put us here, and that we're not going to depend upon the circumstances that are around us, but we believe Your word. And by faith in what You've said, we will speak and abundance will be created, not speaking our words for our own selfish pleasures, but speaking Your word for Your kingdom. And we see the creation of abundance the way You want it to be all around us. Father, I thank You for every person that's here tonight. We thank You for Your word. In Jesus' name, amen.